Hey, this is Chief Photographer Patty Blake over at the News Herald with Editor Mike Cazalaz, and today we're talking... Did I say it wrong?
No, I was impressed you said it right.
I know. I've been working here for 5 years. I thought I'd get it right once, and I got it right the first time. I'm really excited. Today we're talking about Voices of the Storm. It is... Well, Kaz, do you want to tell them a little bit about what we did?
Yeah, what we wanted to do was we wanted to go out and get short vignettes on video where we let people who were here for the storm or evacuated and had to come back afterward tell us in their own words, you know, what impacted them the most. It's not a full interview. It was intended to be a kind of an open-ended, you know, question that they could answer without us putting words in their mouth or trying to direct them toward what we might want to hear, like you in a story where you're trying to draw things out. We just let it come out of them.
Yeah, we only asked two questions to about 71 people, I believe it was.
Yes.
And what were the questions, Kaz?
Well, we asked people, you know, what is your most vivid memory from October 10th and the day Hurricane Michael hit? And how is your life different today than it was before October 10th?
And people were all ages, all walks of life.
Yes, we were, you know, we were as had people from the beach. We were at FSU, Bay High, Dean Bozeman, Oktoberfest. We were at the library in Port St. Joe. It was a wide sampling, you know, ranging from a guy who stayed out on Cape Sandblast,
that was
self-described pirate, to people who evacuated and didn't go through that part of the emotional damage and stress, but they had to deal with it when they got back, and they were hurting just as badly.
Yeah, it was interesting to see that everyone's story and really witness kind of the guilt that anyone who evacuated seems to carry. I mean, I don't feel like they should carry that, but it's something that people always kind of apologize for when they're telling their story, I've noticed.
Yeah, and it's interesting to see that they identified that a while back as survivor's guilt, but we heard that from people, not just people who evacuated, but people felt guilty talking to us if their home wasn't destroyed. Some of them told us, you know, I don't have a story, and we assured them they did. If they were here or they came back to it, they have their story, and it may not sound like much to them. But when we heard them, your take.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think my favorite person was one of the ladies at the Port St. Joe Library. She came in saying she didn't really have a story, and then she told us that she had a house in Mexico Beach that got completely wiped out, and she only went back in January to go physically see it because she didn't think she could handle it. And I remember she was saying that she found... like a bunch of her stuff on a slab, and she was looking through like, oh, this is my Christmas dish. And apparently those Corel bowls do awesome in the hurricane.
What was great about that before, and I won't ruin the end of the story, but
go for it.
So you're telling, or she's telling us a story and we're listening, and it is interesting, but she's getting ready to like drop a bombshell on us. We don't see it coming. And this is a woman who didn't think she had a story. So she's searching and she's found these few things. And then Patty, she tells us.
Yeah, she finds this little ceramic lighthouse and it had her parents' ashes in it. And it was fine. And it went through, what was the height of the flood? Like 16 feet of water?
In the dead center of the, you know, the epicenter of the damage. And that's what survived was her mother's ashes. And she didn't think she had a story because she evacuated.
Yeah, so this is what we've been doing. This has been taking up a lot of our time, and we've loved every minute of it. We loved meeting people. I love sending Kaz into a group of people and making him bring me someone back.
Although oftentimes when I came back with somebody, you'd already corralled one or two. So
I'm extremely charming.
We had plenty of people, and it's cool. I mean, I think we had as young as a second grader, and then we had people up in their 70s, and... Again, the stories they had to tell, you're sitting there listening to story after story, and you would think it would get old, and I was just riveted most of the time. And the people were the resilience, and that's one thing I noticed, that I was surprised by the younger people.
Oh, yeah. School kids?
Yeah, how many of them came out of it with a better appreciation for what they... And it it was sad to listen to some of these kids talk about how appreciative they are for what they have now and what they had before the storm. And they were telling us what they had before the storm, and it might have been seven people living in a tiny trailer in really crowded conditions, and now they feel bad that they didn't appreciate that. And I'm thinking, man, you know, it's making me feel grateful for what I have. They didn't have it great before the storm, and now there's that one family, that young lady, I think at Dean Bozeman, was living in an RV with five of her siblings.
Yes, yeah.
And bathing in a creek for a month and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, yet,
yeah,
there and she was.
There they were. Like, so we, our community has incredible stories, and we have really resilient kids here. They were incredible, and a lot of really good storytellers.
Yeah, and again, it's when you find that, it's just so much fun. It's the best ones for me were the again the people who said I don't have a story, and we got them to talk, and they told, you know, we're not going to ruin them all here, but they're worth watching.
Oh yeah,
most of them are about a minute and a half.
Yep, about that. Some people went on a little bit longer, some people were shorter, because you know everyone tells stories differently. But another cool thing about this is that all of the videos are going to be on an interactive map, so you can see kind of where people were. Or, you know, where their home was during the hurricane.
If there's an area you're interested in, you look at the map and there's, you know, pin drops where the people were during the storm, each one that we interviewed. So if there's a, if you're interested in Bayou George or Lynn Haven or St. Joe, you go to that part of the map and you just click on one of those drops and it'll pull that person up.
Yeah, it's super cool. It's really cool to a cool tool. So, yeah. So, Kaz, I got two questions for you.
Yeah.
What's your most vivid memory from the hurricane?
Oh, my God. When the generator went out, the backup generator went out, and we knew the building was falling down around the room that we were in, but there was something reassuring knowing the generator was running and we had power when it went out, because that wasn't supposed to happen.
Mm-hmm.
That was it for me. What about you?
My most vivid memory? Probably busting into my own office.
I knew it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Tell them why.
I had a sledgehammer. And I was retrieving my two cats.
Did you have permission from the editor to bang that hole?
I did not have permission from anyone to go into the office and bust a hole in there because, well, they were trapped and I didn't want to lose them.
See, legal problems now, because Patty is supposed to say that, yes, I gave her permission to do that. But that's
well, that building has been, that whole building has been torn down now.
That's right.
So.
You were just giving them a head start. And the cats were safe.
They were fine. They were soggy. They were angry.
Now, the tent you had in there, in case you had to stay at the paper before the storm, it was not okay. And in fact, within a week or two, when some people were inspecting the building, they saw that tent through the knocked out hole in the wall of the photo lab and actually were calling the police to report that some homeless people had moved into our building.
That would be a terrible place to be homeless in. It was very moldy within like a couple of days. Yeah.
See, everybody has a story. And
absolutely.
We've told this back and forth to each other 100 times. But when you hear these people's stories that you haven't heard before, mm-hmm. they knocked us out. And we've heard a lot of stories in the last year.
Truly, we have. And yeah, so this is a very special project. It took a lot of time, and I really think it's going to be something. It's going to be on our YouTube channel for the News Herald forever. We have a big playlist for it. So if you ever want to revisit this, or you just can't get through it right away, you can always come back.
Just bookmark it, and it'll be there.
It'll be right there. It's kind of an oral history of Hurricane Michael. And
that's what we do.
Really proud of this project.
I am too. This is pretty rocking.
All right. I don't think there's anything else. Anything else you want to add?
No, I haven't developed a sign-off yet, so I'll just thank everybody if they made it this far.
Thank you all, and please check this out. This is going to be live on our website on Sunday. Let us know what you think.